We will study more of that when we look at the book of 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel. Because for now, just remember this, that it's in a permissive Hebrew tense. And to confirm it, just to give one scripture at least, in 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 1, you will notice that it says, the Lord was angry with David and the Lord stirred up, you know, David to number Israel. It says the Lord. As if the Lord actually do it. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 1, it tells us Satan did it. Satan did it. So those are talking about the same incident. One says the Lord, one says Satan. And as you consider both scriptures, you're puzzled. You say, how come one says the Lord and one says Satan did it? It is because in the Old Testament Hebrew tense, you will only find these kind of problems in the Old Testament and study it. It's permissive. Permissive doesn't mean that it's active. It's passive permissive. It means God is not actively doing it, but He's permissively allowing it. God, you must put that word allow as you read that word to understand it. We will look more into that as we consider Deuteronomy also about how the serpents came and how the protection came. Right. For now, read that with the Hebrew permissive tense here. And what we want to see here is how God dealt with Pharaoh differently from the way God dealt with Moses. In his first encounter in chapter 5, Pharaoh did exactly what God said. Pharaoh rejected Moses' words, and in verse 4, he accused Moses and Aaron of stirring the people away from their word. So the king of Egypt, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Remember that God already told Moses. That is called foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. Understand these two words, foreknowledge and predestination. Foreknowledge may not include predestination. But predestination definitely includes foreknowledge. Because God foreknew first, then He predestined. That is in Romans chapter 8 verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined. He also predestined. God can know certain things, but because of free choice of a human being, He may not do anything about that. But He'll tell you what He knows. He didn't predestine it, but He knows it. For example, when God spoke to, for example, people like Jesus, and show him that there are certain things that are going to happen in Peter's life. And Peter will deny him 3 times. It was not God who made Peter deny him. But rather, Jesus had a word of knowledge through God's foreknowledge and knew what was going to happen. He may be able to do something about it, but the most he can do is let Peter know so that Peter be aware that he could avoid that incident from happening. He could prevent it. He could stop it. But Peter forgot it. And he did exactly what Jesus said. So, a word of foreknowledge is not a word of predestination. Don't confuse the two. So, when Jesus said, Simon, Simon, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me thrice. Jesus was not saying, Peter, I'm predestinating you to deny me 3 times. No, he's not saying that. He's just telling him a foreknowledge. In the same way, God was telling Moses as a foreknowledge. But Pharaoh will not let you go. His heart is hardened and I won't do anything about it. I will allow it to be hardened. So that is foreknowledge we are dealing with. But remember this, foreknowledge leads to predestination, ultimately. So we need to understand predestination, right? The reason we need to understand, because after immediately after you cover all the 10 plagues, in the book of Exodus, all the 10 plagues are listed there. Each plague represents different things. In chapter 7, first plague, the water become blood. Verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Now, if God was the one who made his heart hard, then God would have been responsible, not Pharaoh. But God was saying something that Pharaoh did. See, we're trying to show you. God, through foreknowledge, already knew that was going to happen. Now, when it happened, God told Moses and said, look, Pharaoh is hardening his heart. God didn't say, I'm hardening Pharaoh's heart. No, God is saying now, Pharaoh is hardening his heart. Can you see that? It was not God hardening his heart. It was Pharaoh hardening his heart. First plague. Are you there in chapter 7, verse 14? You're lost. Put out your hand. We'll send someone to you. Exodus chapter 8. Verse 1 again, he says, let my people go. And if you refuse, frogs will now come. And there were frogs in the house, frogs in the kitchen, frogs everywhere. Frogs in the field, frogs in the ponds, in verse 5, frogs in the streams, frogs everywhere. I tell you, Pharaoh was tired of frogs. Even though, if the Chinese were there, we would have lots of frogs' legs. It would have been cheap. But verse 9, finally Pharaoh got tired of frogs. And Pharaoh said, please, ask God to remove the frogs for me. Moses said in verse 9, accept the honor of saying, when I shall. Moses now is getting very humorous. Moses said, Pharaoh, when would you like me to do that? No, here's Pharaoh. He's saying, hey, get rid of the frogs for me. Moses said, when do you like it? Pharaoh says, I don't understand him. Verse 10, tomorrow. I want to spend one more night with them. I mean, I would say immediately. This Pharaoh also is a funny guy. When I read this story, what comes to my mind, why is Pharaoh so hard? If you read Hebrew history, and you understand the timing of the Exodus, the Pharaoh who ruled in Egypt during this time of Exodus, at some point may have known Moses in the school days. They may have even been classmates, but not so likely. Familiarity breeds contempt. Let's imagine it could be a schoolmate, right? Further off. Because all the princes of Egypt go to one special place. They're trained by those tutors. So when Moses comes back with his rod in his hand, with this glow on his face, and say, let my people go. Pharaoh sitting on the throne, looks, what is this Moses? I played marbles with him last time. Gassing, gassing. Fly kites. Look, who does he think he is? But he's no more the old Moses. This is the new Moses. No doubt you may play marbles with him, but now he doesn't play marbles anymore. He plays with his rod. So one reason why Pharaoh was so hard and hardened his heart is partly because of familiarity. And he hardened his heart. Second plague, still hardened his heart. Third plague, lies in verse 16. Still hardened his heart. And fourth plague, flies in verse 20. Still hardened his heart. Fifth plague, verse 9. This time, the livestock all die. He still hardened his heart. Verse 8, chapter 9. Boils all over. Boils all over. Even the magicians had them. But Pharisee didn't listen. Verse 13. Seventh plague. Hail. Now, by the seventh plague, something is different. I want you to notice there is a change at the seventh plague. God said something He has never said before, up to now. About Pharaoh, the opposition. We talk about Moses, the man, the message, the method. Now we talk about Pharaoh. Verse 16. Indeed, for this, the purpose is not in the Hebrew actually, but we read that. For this purpose, I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. This is the same passage that chapter 8 of the book of Romans. Let's look at the book of Romans. With chapter 8 verse 29 talk about predestination, and then it goes on to talk about the real predestination that happened. In talking about the Jews, Romans chapter 9 verse 17. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you. Now, the whole context of chapter 9 is predestination. Talks about Esau, talks about Jacob, talks about Moses, talks about Pharaoh. And it talks about how he became a vessel for destruction. What we want to show you here is it happened at the point of the seventh plague. Now here are the keys to understand predestination. Foreknowledge is simple, just advanced knowledge of the future. Predestination has two levels. You must understand it as two levels. The first level is what I call general predestination. Second level is specific predestination. General predestination are the plans and purposes of God that He has ordained. Events. Special things that events and His chronological time period. Times and seasons set by God. Those plans are what you call general predestination. For example, it was God's plan for the Israelites to go into the land of Canaan. It was not God's plan for them to die in the wilderness. God wanted them to go in. But the first generation rejected God. The second generation went in. There was a delay of 40 years. The event never changed. But the timing of the event may differ and may be changed. Okay, remember that. General predestination is predestination over events. It's predestinated by God of events, plans that never change. He has a plan for your life. Doesn't change. We may choose. Within general, everyone has general predestination. Within general predestination, you still can reject God. Another example, Judas Iscariot was predestined to be one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. In the book that God has about his life, he has a ministry and he has an apostleship. Proof for that is given in the book of Acts chapter 1. Because in Acts chapter 1, they said, let his ministry, let his position, Old King James said, let his bishopric be taken over by another person. Now, when you take over something, it means it's something belonging to another person at first. So the original plan for Judas Iscariot, the general predestination, when you look at the word general, it has specific plan. General predestination for your life, for the life of a group of people, for life of the whole earth, for this generation, for every other generation. So that is what I call general predestination, right? The word general is not that general. When it comes to your life, it's specific. What God called you to do. What you will be in your life. Now, within general predestination, you still can say no. You still can choose against that plan, and when that doesn't go through,